This episode of the Practical Significance Podcast is brought to you by Stata. For over 40 years, Stata has been the trusted statistical software choice for researchers, analysts, and data professionals who demand accurate, reproducible results. From data management to visualization to advanced statistics and reporting, all in one intuitive platform. Backed by a global user community and expert support, Stata empowers you to focus on your research, not your software. Discover how Stata can power your research and analyses by visiting stata.com/amstatpod.
Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, welcome everyone. We're super excited to be back with you for another episode of Practical Significance. And although they're all special, this truly is a special episode because we are going to celebrate Grace Wabba's winning of the International Prize of Statistics. And we have two folks with us who know Grace well and will talk to us about her legacy. So I am going to start by asking our first guest, Ming, to introduce himself and tell us about your day job.
Okay, thank you very much, Donna. I really feel privileged to be at this occasion to celebrate this special honor for Grace. I'm Ming Yuan, so I'm a professor of statistics at Columbia University. I was Grace's student, so Grace was my PhD advisor, and I also had the privilege to be a colleague with Grace for a few years in Wisconsin. So her mentorship through graduate schools and as a senior colleague really had a profound influence on the way I think about statistics, think about machine learning and research more broadly. So I'm excited to be here, and certainly I'm happy to share with you some of the information, quote-unquote, that I had through the interaction with Grace.
Thank you very much, Ming. We're excited as well. And Yoon, I'll ask you to introduce yourself and tell us about your day job.
So thank you for having me here. And this is also a great honor for me to celebrate Grace's legacy together with Ming, as well as others on this podcast. So I am Yoon Kyung Mi, professor of statistics at The Ohio State University. And my main research interest is broadly in statistical learning, and that's something I learned from Grace. And in particular, I worked on problems related to classification, ranking, and dimensionality reduction. And more recently, I got interested in studying model sensitivity to observations for general modeling procedures. And I'm kind of interested in relating this to our understanding of how models work to produce predictions using data points.
That's great. Thank you so much. And Yoon, I'll stay with you and we'll ask the first question. If you can talk to us a little bit about Grace, your initial impressions of her as a mentor and a researcher. So we'll go back to the beginning, if you will.
Actually, my initial impressions of her goes way back to the time when I was preparing for my own adventure to the States for graduate study. So before coming to Madison, I already heard about Grace as a very renowned scholar on the statistics faculty. So that was in 1997 when I was coming to Madison for graduate study. And previously, I studied in the statistics program at Seoul National University in Korea, with all male faculty, and I was really looking for my role model. So the prospect of coming to the program in the department with very renowned female faculty member itself was really exciting to me at the time. That's kind of one aspect. And I also remember seeing the keyword machine learning in her research interest in the department website back then. And remember, it was in the 90s and very few statisticians would know about the field. I mean, I didn't know what machine learning was about either, but I was very intrigued. And come to think of it, I think Grace was a real pioneer getting into this new field early on, recognizing the great potential for what can be done when statistical thinking meets computing to solve real problems using data. So Very naturally, I was drawn to her research, and I took her class on smoothing splines and underlying theory for kernel methods. And the modeling framework that she presented was so general and flexible, at the same time, mathematically elegant. So it was a very easy decision for me to work with Grace as my advisor. And I was so glad that she agreed to be my advisor.
That's just wonderful. And Ming, share some of your early memories.
I think I first met Grace maybe in the first week or two when I joined the graduate school in Wisconsin. So I wasn't as prepared as you before coming to graduate school. Actually, I didn't know about Grace's work. And I think fate has it. I had an office mate, Hailin Zhang, another former student of Grace. So when I first came to the office, I started chatting with her a little bit about what kind of research to do, who would be a good advisor, and so on and so forth. And then Helen very convincingly told me that Grace will be a wonderful advisor. So this is my first week, and I shoot Grace an email, and Grace sent her some of the previous stuff I did. And then Grace very graciously agreed to meet with me. So I still vividly remember first stepping into her office. It's actually quite impressive. There's papers, books all over the place. On the tables, on the floor. Then we started talking a little bit about the more specific work. Before coming to Wisconsin, I worked a little bit on research on the so-called kernel density estimation. It's a little bit confusing because it has a lame kernel in it. And you know, Grace actually one of the sort of main research area concerns reproducing kernel Hilbert space. There's also a kernel, and these two kernels are different. I remember the very first thing Grace told me. He said, well, the first thing I want to say is the kernel you use is very different from the kernel I used. Really, I was very much amazed because then she grabbed a paper. And when all the papers laying on the floor, she would really just without any hesitation picked up a paper saying, this is of course, you know the paper very well. This is a very famous paper by Arizona on reproducing kernel Hilbert spaces. So he handed it to me saying that, wow, this is the kernel I was talking about. Maybe you can take a look to see if this is something you would be interested in. And till this day, I remember that, and I'm very thankful that Grace pointed me to this direction.
That's great, Ming. What year was that?
2000.
Okay, very good. So I have a question now for both of you. And Ming, I think I'll just go right back to you on it. As you think back, did Grace share any wisdom or advice that has stayed with you over the course of your career?
Well, too many to learn. So, well, not just a graduate school. I went back to Wisconsin as a faculty member for a few years. So we were colleagues. Whenever we were both in town, we had lunch together at least once a week. Grace shared with me a lot of stories and a lot of wisdom. Highlight two examples that just came on top of my head. One is like his slogan, just do it. Because one time at the beginning of my graduate school, we were talking about what type of research that people are actively working on. At that point, I think statistics in general is moving, just at the beginning of moving into high dimensional data analysis. And of course, Grace works on more on the sort of non-parametric methods. And the non-parametric methods, when applied to high dimension, is very hard, computationally, theoretically, all kinds of challenges. So when we talk a little bit about it, I was saying, well, this is too hard. I'm not sure it's good for a PhD thesis or something like that. And then Grace said, told me something I still remember. Essentially, she told us, well, just because the problem is hard doesn't mean you cannot do anything about it. Sometimes it could be really easy. The main reason is because everybody thought it's hard. Nobody is making an attempt to it. If you really sit down and do something, even something very small, could be quite significant. So this really stays with me. Basically, I think the message, what I remember is, if you have a hard problem, you need to sit down and just do it. Maybe it will surprise you. This is not as hard as initially thought. Maybe another one really stayed with me quite a bit is later on, actually, when I went back to Wisconsin, we did together with a lot of collaboration with Grace and domain scientist. And one thing Grace always cautioned me is before any collaboration starts, you want to set the right expectation, both for yourself and for your collaborator. Because oftentimes for people who don't know statistics, the way she puts it is they always think statisticians is a magician. So they have a whole bunch of data and somehow you just play your magic and address their million-dollar question. And you don't want to fall into that trap. You want to set expectations for yourself and also for the collaborators And this is how you can have a lasting collaboration. Yeah, so these are some of the gems I have throughout the interaction with Grace.
That's terrific. So, Yoon, what do you remember about advice or wisdom that you were passed on from Grace?
So I'd say that what kind of has stayed with me is not any specific advice or wisdom, but the joyful experience that I had with her. So she was really encouraging advisor, and she was open to very different ideas that students bring to her. And she kind of made me feel that what I was trying to do is meaningful and important. And she celebrated every achievement, small or big. So that joy is really with me, and I'm trying to replicate that experience with my students. So through Grace, I learned the joy of creating new ideas and doing research. So I can only hope that my students have similar experience in doing research with me. So at least for me, working with students to solve research problems, it's the part that I enjoy the most in my job. And getting back to the point about specific advice that Grace gave, there's like one piece of advice that I found in Wisconsin Medicine newsletter at the time of her retirement in 2018. And this is what she said: if you want to do well, then you pick something you really love and put your nose to the grindstone. And it takes a lot of hard work, time, and certain amount of luck. And that advice rings so true to me.
That's lovely. And I'm sure that when Grace hears the podcast, she's going to appreciate what both of you had to say. Now I want to switch a little bit from advice and wisdom that you got to things that you may have learned about how you work, how you solve problems, how you do research from Grace. And Ming, I'll come to you first on this. Are there aspects of her research methods or problem-solving approaches that you now find yourself doing?
Yes, quite a bit. Off the top of my head, I would say two things that really stand out. One, I think Grace, in my mind, is really a trailblazer. She has a lot of courage in embarking on new areas, probably a lot of trendy, but nonetheless, just a, sort of like Yoon was mentioning earlier, just something she loves, and then she will. And then the second point I want to make is the persistency. If you think about Grace's career, I think she works on this sort of spine stuff. At times, it's not entirely appreciated by the field. And at times, it doesn't seem possible, even to herself. But I think Grace persevered. Actually, she told me a lot of these sort of type of stories. And I think one of the key, kind of like you mentioned earlier as well, to overcome all these adversity is the interest and the passion you have for the problems. So for these two, like, be willing to take a risk to work on problems you really like, even if you don't know whether or not it's going to work out, and to really have the persistency to continue working on this in spite of all the challenges. I think these are certainly the most valuable lessons that I have throughout my career.
Thanks, Ming. And Yoon, how about you?
So I'd like to talk more about the connection between what I have learned from her and my own work. So, of course, I use Grace's reproducing kernel as generator of a very flexible model space. So this reproducing kernel is almost a constant feature in many of my papers and my students' dissertations as well. So, for instance, I have studied the geometry of kernel PCA. Also, I proposed methods to estimate a covariance function for longitudinal data using her smoothing spline analysis variance technique. And I examined the asymptotic properties of support vector machine using the insights about how that method works, working together with Grace. And more recently, my own research in kind of model sensitivity and model complexity, I am kind of revisiting this familiar concept of head matrix and model degrees of freedom for more general modeling procedures. And in fact, I can kind of trace back to the time when I was thinking about these concepts with smoothing splines when I was studying back in Madison. So to me, it's quite amazing that there are really many ideas that I learned from her still resonate with me. and they are now taking new forms. And I'm really curious to see how all this lead to kind of new ideas and new insights.
That's really great. And I can't resist pointing out that you guys are reproducing the reproducing things that she taught you. So Donna, I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, these are just such lovely memories. Yoon, I want to go to you to ask you to read Grace's mind, if you will. What do you think she would say about the current state of statistics and machine learning, given that you even mentioned that you saw machine learning on her department bio, but given how her foundational work has evolved?
So I am really sure that Grace would be really delighted to see how her work has evolved into so many different ideas and variety of new tools in statistics and machine learning. So for instance, I have seen numerous examples of how her celebrated representer theorem is used to create new machine learning procedures. And this theorem sort of made it possible to find solution in infinite dimensional space. And over the years, I'd say that the boundary between statistics and computer science has blurred. And nowadays, many statisticians actively participate in machine learning conferences. And some of us have joint appointments in computer science. And nowadays, data science is really a thriving field. So I remember at the early stage of machine learning explosion, we've kind of felt that we are in kind of crisis mode, and we are trying to define those unique features or unique traits in statistical thinking that are different from computer science. But I remember at that time, Grace was advocating this idea that rather than differentiating these two fields, we should try to learn from each other and join the pores to solve real-world problems using data.
That's amazing. Let's follow up on that then. And so you and I'll come back to you, and then I'll go to Ming. That we've seen how she's influenced you all. Can you say more about how you see her legacy, her intellectual legacy, continuing to influence new generations of statistics and data scientists? Yoon, let's start with you, and then Ming, I'll come to you.
Grace is regarded as the mother of smoothing splines in statistics and saint guardian of kernel methods in machine learning. So when it comes to talking about her intellectual legacy, we cannot really talk about her contributions to statistics without mentioning smoothing splines. So as an elegant extension of our bread and butter linear regression, spline modeling is widely used in practice, and it is a subject of our statistics program everywhere. So the fact that her smoothing spline technique is available in everyone's toolbox is to me a powerful statement that her intellectual legacy continues in statistics and data science. And a more technical level, I found that it is pretty interesting how her foundational work is impacting current research as well. So Grace laid foundation for kernel methods. And you can kind of take kernel methods as very abstract formulation of smoothing splines using the geometry of Hilbert space. And I found it really fascinating to see a perspective in machine learning on complex neural networks through the lens of kernel methods. So a group of researchers, they could characterize the training dynamics of neural networks with wide width under gradient descent using this concept of kernel. So this means that we could view complex neural network models as a kernel method using very special kernel called neural tangent kernel. So I would say that her perspective in this kernel-based modeling framework is still very much alive and very relevant to current research in machine learning.
Thank you, Yoon. And Ming, what do you see?
Fascinating to listen to Yoon describing all of this. I cannot agree more. I think I just add maybe a small anecdote, sort of reflecting Grace's impact. So I have a former colleague, Ahmanur Lau. He's Lau, a founding director at the Wharton Institute at Arizona State University. So if you Google him, you'll find he's one of the top leading climate scientists in the world, and he specializes in water sustainability. So I met him at one of the sort of the university gatherings. And so we started chatting a little bit. Because if you think about our background, I work on statistics. He works on water sustainability, which I know nothing about. So I thought we don't have much to talk about. And then after a few pleasantries, I told him my advisor was Grace Waba. And he got really excited. Basically, the story goes as follows. When he was in graduate school, he came across some of Grace's work and began to learn about these smoothing splines. In his words, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he has been using smoothing splines throughout his career. All the data, all kinds of problems they have, he basically, if he needs anything, he will go back to what kind of things he can find in Grace's website and the type of techniques, what type of smoothing splines he could fit. So which I really blew my mind away because I would never thought of somebody with that background will be using the tools that Grace has developed. So overall, I just feel like, back to Ron, your earlier question as well, I feel like Grace is doing data science before there is even such a thing. Because really, if you think about it, data science, people say there are three main ingredients. One is the data for domain science, then the other one is computing, and the other one is statistics. And Grace started her career very early on, when computing is not so accessible. She was doing computing on punch cards, and she was working on climate problems. This inspired a lot of this sort of spine development. I think in many ways, if you think about the body of her work and the development, I think this embodies the very fundamental principle of data science, all of these working together. So I think she will be, just like you said, she will be really delighted to see the kind of state of both statistics, machine learning, and probably people say AI.
Very good. So Ming, I want to follow up with you then. So imagine Grace were starting her career today. What do you think the current problems or areas that would capture her interesting and innovative approaches to things? And remember that she's going to hear this answer, so you might be giving her ideas about what she's going to work on next.
That's a tough question. Actually, like we discussed earlier, I think that Grace was driving today's world, the research landscape. I think one of the things that really struck me is how interdisciplinary Grace is. And she's always interested in applied problems. So through her career, she made a lot of fundamental contributions into climate sciences and worked on neuroscience problems and clinical medical problems. And of course, a big part of her research profile is the utilization of computing resources. So I wouldn't be surprised Grace would pick on any of these sort of interesting applied problems and turn this into interesting statistical problems, and then utilizing hundreds, maybe just like nowadays, the foundation models, hundreds or thousands of GPUs to solve these problems. For the specific one, I think for specific problems, it's very hard for me to speculate. But what I can say is, I know some of the problems that Grace wouldn't be interested in. So she wouldn't be sitting in the office working on problems, purely abstraction. And I don't think she will be working on something like just following the trend.
That's just fantastic. And I suspect that you all have cultivated in our younger listeners a strong desire that they could work with Grace, but they can work with you, which maintain the genetic tree, right? Which is wonderful. So we have a tradition on practical significance to always ask our guests to share something that they're reading, listening to, watching. So Ming, I'll start with you. What's on your TBR or to be watched list?
I don't watch a lot of TV. I think maybe I like reading books. So I just recently started reading this book. The title is Genius Maker. This is a book about AI, but not a technical one. I think basically it traces the evolution of modern AI, particularly deep learning, through the lens of different people and the corporate competition and the national interests, commercial gains, and all of this. I just started reading it. One reason I like reading about it is some of the characters, some of the personnel in the book that I know in person. I think the book is very well written. Because usually when you read the books about deep learning and AI or the evolution of that, it's more technical. I think this is more, it goes beyond the technical description and it humanizes a lot of stories behind this. I just started maybe like 1/3 of the book, but I really enjoyed it.
That's great. I'm definitely adding that to my list as well. Yoon, we'll go to you. What are you reading or watching or listening to or all of the above?
Whenever my husband and I have road trip, we listen to music and some podcasts. And on our very recent trip to Virginia, we were listening to podcasts done by Hassan Minhaj titled Hassan Minhaj Doesn't Know. So in each episode, he interviews a guest on a variety of topics. And his interview with astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson on AI and why AI is overrated was particularly interesting to me. So I strongly recommend it to everyone.
That's wonderful. Well, again, thank you both for sharing your memories of grace. This has just been an amazing episode, and we are so grateful that you were willing to join us. As listeners know, we have another tradition on practical significance, and that tradition is Ron's top 10. So I'll turn it over to my colleague, Ron, for his top 10.
Thank you, Donna. As usual, the Practical Significance podcast wants to help our audience get the most out of life. This time, we provide you with useful suggestions for what to wear to a holiday party. Specifically, here are the top 10 costumes to wear to the Statistics Department Halloween party. Number 10, you could go dressed as a large language model. Wearing a costume covered in random words and phrases, jump into conversations by predicting what people will say next. Number 9, could go as the null hypothesis. Wear regular clothes, but carry a sign that says H-naught. Keep insisting there is no difference between you and someone wearing a costume. Number 8, multicollinearity. Requires 3 identically dressed people who keep finishing each other's sentences. Number 7, you could go as an AI hallucination. Carry around some things that make no sense, like a tennis racket with no strings or a glass with no bottom, but confidently assert that these things are perfectly normal. Number 6, random walk. In a dapper outfit with a top hat and a cane, stroll through the party, changing directions frequently until discovering that the host's patience is an absorbing boundary. Number 5, error types. Arrive as a couple. One wearing a shirt with the letter alpha and the other with the letter beta. Alternatively, dress like Jersey Naaman and Egon Pearson. Number 4, you could go as Bayes' theorem by wearing any costume you like, but updating it frequently based on what other people are wearing. Number 3, regression to the mean. Start the party in a loud and gaudy costume, then gradually change into ordinary clothes through the night. Number 2, neural network. Connect yourself to the other party guests with yarn and tape. When you do, be sure to ask them what their activation function is. And the number one idea for a costume at the Statistics Department Halloween party, go as a counterfactual. Don't wear a costume, but spend your time at the party thinking about what would have happened if you had. Well, that's it for this episode of Practical Significance. We look forward to continuing the conversation next month.
Whether you're publishing a paper, exploring data for the first time, or running complex statistical models, you know how important it is to trust the tools you're working with. For over 40 years, Stata has supported researchers, analysts, and data scientists with powerful, reproducible statistical software. With Stata, there's no need for extra modules or hidden add-ons. You get powerful statistics, robust data management, seamless automated reporting, and publication-ready visualizations, all in one intuitive platform. Trusted by industry leaders for over 4 decades, Stata continues to deliver accurate, reproducible results you can rely on. So stop focusing on your software and focus on what matters, your research, so you can share your results with confidence. Discover how Stata can power your research and analysis by visiting stata.com/amstatpod. That's stata.com/amstatpod.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from Amstat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.